You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's get started.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Chicago Bears select.
Live from the NFL Draft in Detroit, it's the Rich Eisen Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft is now underway.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, Fox Sports college football analyst and NFL Network draft analyst Joel Klatt, Detroit Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson. Coming up, Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
It is the third and final hour of our third and final day of the Rich Eisen Show Draft Week Special, live from Detroit at the Total by Verizon Studio. The draft is all about getting a contract, but when it comes to your wireless plan, take advantage of no long-term contracts with Total by Verizon. It's the power of Verizon. Price to win. Find your local Total by Verizon store or switch at TotalByVerizon.com. Today, what a fun show that we've had unpacking what we saw last night in the first night of the first ever draft in the city of Detroit, getting ready for night number two, rounds two and three. I'll be back on NFL Network at 7 Eastern time. It's basically the Truman Show. I'm on television more than I am asleep over these last day and the next 2 days. These are factual. I love being right here on the Roku channel and you listening to us on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliates. Smart enough to have us. SiriusXM, Odyssey, our podcast, and more. We're greatly appreciative of your viewership and your listenership. Sherrone Moore, the head coach of the University of Michigan, is going to join us. And if you missed the first 2 hours where we just went all in discussing the Michael Penix Jr., 8th overall selection by the Atlanta Falcons, and then 6 quarterbacks going in the top 12, and so much to talk about for this draft. We had Ian Rappaport of NFL Network here, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, and Joel Klatt of NFL Network and Fox Sports, and Aiden Hutchinson just left here. If you missed any of it, we re-air on the Roku channel as soon as we are done. Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson hanging with me, waiting for my head coach of the University of Michigan, Sherrone Moore, to join us right here on the program. What up, Doe? As you said, there were 275,000 individuals who say such things here last night.
That's what's up.
In the Cadillac Square, and I guess they were also including some of the people on the periphery. And if you included other parts of Detroit where there were draft gatherings, yep. The city of Detroit's police department said over 400,000 people were out and about last night.
I believe that's
for
insane.
The draft.
Yeah. We were out walking around and it was incredible. Jerseys, Honolulu blue everywhere. No incidents. Everyone's been so nice here.
Cool.
Detroit
yeah.
has been that's so incredible. Thing, and it was quite a scene, man. Some of the high up images that you're seeing on social media.
Unbelievable.
Today, it's just so awesome.
And if I said this on the air last night, if I could choose, with all due respect to all the other 12 people that were in the green room last night, and thankfully for all 13 of those individuals, they all got drafted last night. There was nobody left in that green room once. Who was the last one? Darius Robinson of Missouri, one of our friends of the show. When he was drafted last night by the Arizona Cardinals, 27th overall, that cleaned out the green room. So that's nice. All done for tonight. But I said, with all due respect to the other 12, if I could have chosen a member of that green room to be the one that the Detroit Lions drafted, allowing him to light up that draft hall with his presence and his essence and his personality, I would have chosen the one who they drafted, mm-hmm. Terrion Arnold.
He was great.
He was great. He came out and he just owned the stage, and he took the microphone from Kaylee Hartung.
Don't ever get up the mic.
You're not supposed to do that.
Kaylee's a pro. She knows that.
No, but she also understood that him grabbing the microphone might lead to what he ended up doing, which was turning around and address. And instead of answering her question in the one-on-one to her, he turned around and addressed the crowd. And the place went nuts. Yeah. I know we showed that to that crowd going crazy to Aiden Hutchinson last hour. I had mentioned it was when Terrion Arnold was announced. I think it's when he's hit the stage. And this was that moment. We should hit it right here again, if you don't mind. I'm getting goosebumps.
So loud.
And I had mentioned, because our terrific crew, NFL Network crew, honchoed by Charlie Hook and Mark Teitelman, the famed T-Man in the producer's chair, They queued up that moment again where he took the microphone from Kaylee Hartung, and I said, that's the first interception of his pro career. And then he turned around and he took it to the house. He addressed 275,000 people like, what up, Doe?
What up?
You know, and it really was outstanding. And that was a great moment.
Great moment. And because of the quarterbacks and all the tackles that went, you know, he could have been an early teens pick, but they got pushed down because of all the other players that went ahead of him. So the Lions got such great value
in
that spot.
You have led me, sir, to my top five round draft steals presented by Applebee's. I've got a top five to kick off hour three of day three here in Detroit.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, you ready for it, gentlemen?
Let's go.
Top five first round steals presented by Applebee's. And number five on this list is wide receiver number six that got drafted last night. The seven wide receivers in the first round, by the way, ties the record from 2004. But I'm going with wide receiver number six, taken out of the University of Florida. The 49ers drafted Ricky Pearsall. Mm. Now, I'm just going to say this. Could Xavier Leggett, being drafted after him by Carolina,
sure,
be the best steal of the first round of the wide receiver draft? Sure, why not? You could go Brian Thomas Jr., who is drafted by Jacksonville. That could be a nice draft steal. I'm just going with this guy for a couple reasons. First of all, the tape doesn't lie.
Yep.
Secondly, this guy being drafted, everybody in the media thinks it's because they're getting ready to trade Brandon Ayuk. And as the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, and John Lynch hit their post-draft press conference last night, Kyle Shanahan shared with the media that he got a text from Brandon Ayuk that basically said, not going to lie, fire pick.
Oh,
that's what he said.
Oh, really?
And also amongst much of the competition I'm battling with for eyeballs and ear gates on a draft night, the folks at BR Gridiron did a live stream coverage of the draft.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud was on that.
I know.
And he was saying, I wanted him.
Yeah.
And was talking about how great this guy is. And he was even lamenting, how did he wind up on their radar screen? It's just kind of like, well, C.J., everybody's got a radar screen. This is the National Football League. Everybody's got a radar screen, and he's on it.
Yeah, everyone's saying one of the best route runners in this draft.
He was legitimately not happy that his Texans did not get him. So I'll put him on the list.
Good one.
At number five. Number four, there were tons of offensive linemen taken. As a matter of fact, eight offensive linemen taken in the first round last night, ties a record from 2008. I'm going to go with the offensive lineman that was taken, I think, sixth overall from the offensive lineman group. I'm going to go with Washington's Troy Fotanu, and I just think the Steelers got themselves a great draft steal at 20th overall, leaving the combine and watching this kid work out with Daniel Jeremiah, and Sean O'Hara was down on the turf, and so was Taylor Lewan. He was on the turf. They were talking about how he might be the best tackle, period. And I understand that Jared Goalt was out there, and they were talking about how good he can move and how terrific he is. And anybody that roots for Washington will tell you he might just be a fan favorite. And not many fan favorites play offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's went 20th overall. I dig that pick. And Mike Tomlin was smiling and clapping, and why not? I mean, he is a terrific pick for that offensive line. Number three in my top five first-round draft steals, I am going with, why not, another Philadelphia Eagle draft steal.
Yeah.
And I could not believe that Quinyon Mitchell was still available for the Philadelphia Eagles to take. And they had him 22nd overall. And Daniel Jeremiah was here on Thursday, and he wasn't the only one saying that Howie Roseman was trying to trade up for a tackle or trade up for a defensive back. And we were watching him slip down. And the fact, again, that he was available is 100% due to the fact that six quarterbacks got taken in the first 12 picks of this draft. And it just stuffed so many top defensive players down the draft board. And Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo was a terrific pick. And another aspect of the competition that I'm battling with for eyeballs and eardrums. To my left on the ABC set, Nick Saban was on that set on the ABC coverage. And he said they were hoping and trying to get Quinyon Mitchell in the transfer portal from Toledo, thinking he would just have to leave Toledo to go to
Toledo. Yeah, he was tampering, admitted to it?
He basically said, no, he was saying they were hoping to, to see him in the transfer portal, and he never entered it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Never got in it. So when you hear that, 22nd overall, and if somebody knows about, defensive backs, it's kind of Nick Saban. Number two, I wanted him. I wanted him wearing green, and I understand the Jets wanted to go protect Aaron Rodgers rather than give him a very talented tight end. But the Las Vegas Raiders getting Brock Bowers at 13. If this kid didn't hurt his ankle in his final year in Georgia, I think he might have gone to the Chargers at five.
Yeah, maybe.
I really think so.
Maybe.
Because, I know that their offensive linemen are considered weapons there, as Jim Harbaugh said in the post-draft press conference on Thursday night. I mean, Brock Bowers is on the line. He's kind of an inline guy, and he can catch. He is just a big-time player. He's a blue chipper, and the Raiders got him 13th overall. I wanted him at 10th overall, so of course I'm going to consider this a draft steal that they got him at 13th overall. And it's going to be interesting here. They're going to go two tight end. Michael Mayer had a terrific season last year for Notre Dame, so they're probably going to two tight end school there in Vegas. Number one is the guy who we had here on Wednesday and the guy that electrified the crowd last night. I am going Terrion Arnold as the biggest first-round draft steal, and I am going to say the 24th overall pick is going to have a stupendous career here in Detroit. And Aiden Hutchinson said it just moments ago on this program. He's going to fit right in.
I think so.
He is electric. He's got a personality. He's got a game to match. I'll just say this as well. On the car drive back into the hotel from the draft set, Daniel Jeremiah told me that he had a chat with Arnold a week ago, and Arnold told him that he thought he could be a top draft choice in the NBA draft as well. And DJ's like, okay, listen, I think you're great at cornerback, and I know you got confidence, but I don't know about that. And he's like, oh, yes, I could. Like,
he's got that Anthony Edwards confidence.
This guy has got the roofer's confidence, right?
Well, Edwards of the Timberwolves believes he can do any and everything.
Exactly. So there you have it. That's Terrion Arnold, my top five first-round draft steal presented by Applebee's.
Do you think we need one more?
That's Del Tufo chiming in from Los Angeles.
Right. He
may not
attention.
Be here,
I see you,
but he's pushing
attention.
Buttons, spotting dimes like Costanza.
Wow.
I got one more, and this one's for me. You bet he's a draft steal, and I think everybody's going to find out if you don't think he's deserving of being a top 10 pick in this NFL draft. I know the Giants must have seen him. They kicked the tires on him. They worked him out twice. They made him throw on Easter. I get it. You didn't take him sixth overall, but everybody's going to see. J.J. McCarthy, 10th overall in this draft in Detroit, is 100% a draft steal. I don't even know what truck just pulled up behind me with whatever's on the side, but it's maize and blueprint right there. I love it right there.
That's some TJ Plus in that truck.
I understand that. But I'll just tell you this. I'll just tell you this. Forget about the truck now that I know what it's for. Hey, listen. J.J. McCarthy, 10th overall, the Minnesota Vikings got themselves a winner and a quarterback that might just be the best winner in this draft. I cannot wait to see him twice a year against Caleb Williams and twice a year against Jordan Love and twice a year against Jared Goff and, yeah, even Aiden Hutchinson. Talk about your draft steals. J.J. McCarthy sitting there at 10. The Minnesota Vikings move up one spot, and they got themselves their quarterback. You bet he's a draft day steal, presented by, right here, Applebee's. That was my top five again, presented by Applebee's, the official grill and bar of the National Football League. Celebrate the NFL draft with 20 free boneless wings. Ooh. With any $40 online purchase now through Saturday, April 27th. It's the start of a delicious partnership between Applebee's and the National Football League.
Boom. Eating good in the neighborhood.
Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know who's going to be here when we come back. He is the head coach of the University of Michigan football program. He is Sharon Moore, and a ton of kids that he coached over the last couple years. We could be hearing their names tonight right here in Detroit. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a matter of moments. Sharon Moore, the head coach of the Michigan Wolverine football program, in studio.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
America starts the day with America in the morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The head coach of University of Michigan football, Sharon Moore, is here on the program. In that chair just a couple days ago was J.J. McCarthy. Mm. He's now a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Did you speak with him last night?
Yeah, was that his draft party. Knew that's where he wanted to go. That's where his heart was. So excited for him and excited for a future.
So were they tire kicking on him from jump? Were they calling you up?
Yeah, I mean, Coach O'Connell and Kwesi, they were all there. They had a day. They spent the whole day with him, you know, watching film, working out, doing different things. And it's been a long process to see it happen, but I knew that's where he wanted to go.
Yeah, and he wanted to go there because why?
I mean, the weapons that they have on offense, the offensive line, the receivers, obviously, J.J. throwing to J.J. now, and, Aaron Jones being there at running back, and knew they were stocked, and Coach O'Connell did such a great job developing quarterbacks, so he was so excited for him, and, you know, J.J., you know, he fell in love with that and kind of knew he wanted to go there from the start.
Josh McCown also is the quarterback coach there. It does appear to be an outstanding setup, what you're looking for when you're being drafted in the NFL at a top 10 position.
Yeah, you know? Super great fit for him from a cultural standpoint, from the people, the fans, just the energy. It seems like that comes from that place. I think he'll do very well.
And, you know, again, he was in this chair, and I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind telling me from your perspective, since he told the story involving you, mm-hmm. from this chair the other day about the Penn State game. You were the head coach.
Yep.
And you found out you were the head coach the day before, if not confirmed the morning of.
Yeah.
Right? Like that is what happened.
90 minutes before the game.
It was confirmed you were coaching.
It was confirmed, yep.
So you are now in a crucial spot, to say the least.
Yeah.
and you run the ball 32 straight times.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he came up to you afterwards and asked, do you not believe in me? Was that the case?
Yeah, yeah. It was the next day. And we were in the office, and he asked me, you know, he asked me that question. I said, no, I just felt like that's what we needed to do to win at that time, and wanted to protect you and the rhythm of the game and all that. And, you know, I think we came out the next couple games and answered, you know, if there was a belief between me and him. And I've always believed in JJ in every sense of the word, in every game, and just felt like at that moment, in that atmosphere, in that stage, that's what we needed to do to win the game.
And how did he take that, do you think?
He's the ultimate competitor. So I think ultimately he wanted to, you know, throw the ball more in that game. But I think at the end of the day, for him, his number one thing is he wanted to win. And to watch him that day, that week in practice, and that, you know, just the rest of the year, to become who he was and how he led our team, was super impressive and just spoke to his character as a player.
Well, I mean, Chop Robinson, who was a problem in mm-hmm. that game, wound up being the 21st overall pick in the
yeah.
draft last night
yeah.
for a reason. But what about you? You're the interim head coach, for the lack of a better phrase, on game day.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming up to you. You've got two more games left. Ohio State's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking you if you have belief in him. How do you as a coach handle a moment like that?
I mean, you just got to continue to believe in the process of what we're doing. And, you know, my ultimate goal was to try to help us win every game. And that's all I was going to try to do.
And I was saying this also before he even was talking about it. He said it was a tough pill to swallow, to mm-hmm. have to you know, focus on a Harbaugh run-centric concept
yeah.
to win. I had never really heard him talk about that. And for a 20-year-old
yeah.
to have the ability to swallow that pride or not want to pound a chest publicly, I think speaks volumes about him as well. But was that an issue, do you think, behind the scenes? Were you sensing that as a coach involving him?
No, I think the best thing about it is we always talk about any issues we have. We always talk about them, confront them, and address them, and get over them after that. And, you know, he came up to me that day, you know, after that game, and asked me that question, and I explained it to him. And, I mean, we literally went the next day, and we were golden. And, you know, obviously in the biggest moments of the year, you go back to the Rose Bowl. I mean, that last drive, we're down 20-13, and we threw the ball to win the game or to tie the game. So he knew that deep down inside, we believed in him, and I believed him. And, you know, ultimately, when it really mattered, he made some huge plays for us.
He did. Blake Corum being one who mm-hmm. was on the receiving end of
yep.
a play, Roman Wilson being on the receiving end of a play, and they are available to be drafted tonight.
Yep.
Is Jim Harbaugh interested in any of these guys, do you think?
I mean, I think he always is. I think he loves the program, loves what he developed as a head coach there. But we'll see. I mean, ultimately, he has needs for his program and his organization, so we'll see what happens.
Does he have – he doesn't call you like a normal coach in the NFL might call somebody who's the current college head coach?
No, we just talk. Whenever we talk, it's just straight communication of, I mean, it could be anything. So whether mm-hmm. ideas, things that, you know, we're doing, things that he's doing, different things that, you know, we can change, that we can evolve. But no, the conversations are way different than any other head coach in the NFL.
I imagine it must be. I want to get your reaction to what Jim said last night. I don't know if you saw this soundbite, but this is after they drafted Joe Alt.
Yep.
Fifth overall, and this yep. is, you know, Keenan Allen no longer on the team. He's in Chicago, mm-hmm. and Mike Williams is now in New York, and there was Malik Nabers on the board, Roma Dunze on the board, and obviously you guys would know how good Roma Dunze mm-hmm. is firsthand. They go offensive line,
yep.
and this was his answer to a question about not getting offensive weapons for Justin Herbert.
Decision, and it was like I alluded to earlier, I mean, it was all the work that went in, you know, the player that was on the top of our board. Nobody rated higher than Joe Alt, the player, when it came to our selection that we picked. And, you know, I know the question is going to come up and you're going to say, like, you know, what about a weapon? What about offensive linemen? We look at as weapons. That group, when we talk about attacking, and we talk about attacking on offense, offensive line is the tip of the spear.
Sound familiar to you?
Oh, yeah. Very familiar.
Does he talk like that behind the scenes?
100%. 100%. And the foundation of who you are as a program is really built on your offensive line. Not just on the field, but off the field. How they carry themselves, what they do, how they act. And, you know, when I took over the offensive line at Michigan, the first thing I said is, like, if we want to win a championship, that room has to run the team. And, you know, Coach fully believed in that, embraced that. And that's, you know, all his coaching career. You can go back to Stanford, San Diego, the Niners. You know, even when he was playing, he's talked about that. Like, the O-line has to be a huge part of what you do. And if you want to win, that group's got to be strong.
So, but where do receivers actually work in? And I'm asking that on behalf of Charger fans right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're important. I think everybody has their piece. But if you don't have great offensive linemen, those receivers won't get the ball. So, and I think he understands to build a team structurally strong. It's just like building a house. You got to have that foundation. It's all built from the bottom. And those guys are going to, you know, he's going to build them right. He's going to build that organization right. And they're going to be strong and physical.
Jerome Moore, Michigan head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. So pound the table. Who about guys that you think we're going to hear tonight here in Detroit, Michigan?
You know, I'm biased about all our guys, but, you know, I don't imagine that, you know, you don't see Roman Wilson, you don't see Chris Jenkins, you don't see Blake Corum, Zach Zinner, Junior Colson, Mikey Sanders still, those guys. I know those guys are probably in the group of guys that'll get drafted today. And excited for everybody, excited for that whole class, that whole group, but, you know, for sure, you'll hear those guys' names.
And we just had Aiden Hutchinson here as well, and what he means to this entire city right now, and what the program has become, and obviously being a national champion. Sanders still, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago as well. What did he bring to the equation from every standpoint that, you know, you might find a little difficult to backfill now that he's gone?
Yeah, I mean, I think what he brought is he filled another void. You know, when Aiden left, Aiden really started the change in the course of, as from a leadership standpoint, player-led program, and he really taught him and Mr. Ross and Andrew Astartes and Hassan Haskins started a, you know, the leadership from within. And, you know, Mikey watched those guys. He tried to emulate him and surpass him, and so did Blake. So what Mikey's going to bring is, you know, and what he, you know, what we're losing with Mikey is that player leadership. But, you know, I think our guys that are there have watched how he did it, and they're going to try to do the same thing. And Mikey's going to bring to whatever program he goes to, he's going to be tough, he's going to be physical, he's going to be smart, he's going to be dependable, and he's going to be a leader in any way possible that he can.
And Blake Corum, when did he first show up on your radar screen or anything like that?
I mean, I think it was like the first workout or first camp we had. And I mean, the dude's just incredible player. I mean, we had to tell him to stop coming in so late and doing extra.
What do you mean?
He would be in the building after hours doing extra work, and we're like, bro, you're gonna wear yourself out. And he just didn't know anything but hard work. And that's who the guy is. He's a you know, ridiculous worker, tough. And he's a great leader.
All right, I got Jerome Moore, a few minutes left with the University of Michigan head coach, because you're going to the Tigers-Royals game, right?
Yep, yeah, we're going to the game, taking the team there.
And first pitch, you're gonna get on the bump?
I'm going to delegate that duty to two of our players, Will Johnson and Alex Orji will throw out the first pitch.
Okay, simultaneously? Or, I mean,
I don't know how that works. I think so. I think two catchers go out there. Okay. I know a couple other guys did it the other day. Actually, it was Mikey and Jalen Harrell. So it'll be cool to watch those guys do it.
Did you never play baseball?
I did. I was never a pitcher. I was a catcher, first base, and occasionally center field because I was long.
Okay.
But never a pitcher.
But a catcher has to throw the ball back.
You do.
You just don't want any piece of this thing. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you could become YouTube famous.
That's right.
Very fast.
Very.
You know, okay, so leave it up to the kids.
Absolutely.
You're doing that. And so the future now, who's going to be your quarterback, do you think, this fall?
Yeah, we'll see. Figure that out in fall camp, but excited about all our candidates.
So you are in a full-on competition for the gig right now?
Yep.
Okay. And what are you looking for? What do you think is going to cause you to make your decision?
You know, fall camp someone that can operate the offense at full throttle, no limitations, and be dependable and help us go win games.
And you have any sense right now? You lean at this point in time?
Not really a sense. You'll see, and then we'll figure that out in fall camp, I think.
Okay. And then in terms of the expectation level, the sense in the national media, mm-hmm. of which I am a part, but I do not ascribe to what I'm about to say. Back off, guys. I already sense your judgment. Is that Michigan is that was a nice run that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Nice run, nice championship you had there, but everybody's gone. Jim is now in the pros, and that's personally, I think, disrespectful to you. But I will just say that Michigan's not going to have any shot at winning the Big Ten, let alone doing again what they did last year. How do you respond to that, Jerome Moore?
I think our goals are always going to be the same, to beat our rivals, win the Big Ten, and go compete for a national title every year. So we're not going to let those goals go to the wayside because people have left. Michigan is always going to be Michigan, and we're going to go compete at the highest level, and we're going to do it our way. And, people are going to say what they want to say, and we're going to sit back and work, keep our head down and work.
Are you going to use this, what I just said? You're going to use it?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Have you already used it?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
But the players know. So.
The players definitely. I mean, they're the ones who were, as soon as you got off the plane in Penn State, we had Chris Jenkins on the other day. I'm like, how fast did you tweet out the word bet? And he was the first one. He said
he was the first one at dinner. I was sitting right by him.
What do you mean?
They were all sitting at dinner, and he said, I'm going to tweet bet. And he put it out, then the rest of them did, JJ did, and all of a sudden Tom Brady and Derek Jeter did it. So I was like, wow, that word travels fast.
So you were sitting at the dinner table with
him? Yeah, yep.
Did you say, don't do that?
No.
You just sat back and you're
just
like,
let them go. Yeah.
And I guess that's the player-led program that you're
right.
talking about.
Yep.
Coach, thanks again for everything.
Thank you so much.
Greatly appreciate it. I have my – I'll bring it up. I have my phone case right here.
Coach.
It's a beautiful case.
It is a
beautiful – Well, it was even more beautiful.
Yeah. Hold on. There it is right there. Yeah. Michigan beat everybody. I had J.J. McCarthy sign it the other day.
Can you see it, Coach? Can you see the autograph?
It's on there.
No, it's not.
Oh, right.
Because you were. Go ahead. You can tell him. Go ahead. Tell him.
So, we're like, Rich, look, you can't use that case anymore.
Yeah,
you got to put some tape or a laminate over it or
just
something.
Cover it.
Because it's going to smudge. It's going to rub off and it's going to be gone forever. No. It's fine. I got it.
It's now gone.
And now you see.
Half an hour that thing lasted, Coach.
Yeah. So.
And Rich was like, well, I couldn't leave my phone uncovered. I'm like, you get another phone, you can't get another JJ autograph.
Well, I'm about to ask for this to be done, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, it's only going to last for 20 minutes.
No, it's not. I'm going to actually follow your advice this time. Fool me once, right?
Okay, great. Yeah,
there
can't be fooled again.
All right. So now I've got the head coach.
There you go.
The University of Michigan signing the Michigan beat everybody phone protector, and I am now going to have my phone thoroughly unprotected for rounds 2 through 7 of the NFL draft.
Yeah, my friend.
I think that's fine.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
There it is. Okay, now.
You got insurance, right?
There it is. There's your winner, Sherrone Moore. I appreciate you, making
nice.
That.
Oh, okay. Great.
That.
That's great.
All right, now.
JJ who?
the Minnesota Vikings? Well, hold on a minute. All right, now I'm going to take this thing off. I'll do that in a commercial break.
You almost put it down. It's not even dry yet.
Back off. Enjoy the Tiger game.
Thank you. Appreciate
you got it,
Rich.
That
appreciate
is head coach of the University of Michigan, Sherrone Moore, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We will wrap up our week-long residency here in Detroit at the draft in a moment.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband
and co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
back on the Rich Eisen Show Network. Here we are on the Roku channel. It's funny. On the Roku channel, for those who are listening, we'll do something that's more visual than not. Because, again, I know we don't want to leave you folks who are listening in out. But it's just the first time all day I realized that Brockman's been wearing a leather jacket this entire show.
And like, I am wearing a local shirt that I got.
Okay, great. Motor City Bad Boys. Very good. Yeah.
And I got a pin the other day that says I have people in Detroit.
Well, we've had
a great week.
I like it. We've had a great week with everybody here and with you, TJ. Del Tufo's back at home. And it's been just great doing this show with Christopher Fonzarelli today. It's been outstanding.
Where are the Malachi brothers at?
By the way, that's just across the Great Lake in Wisconsin,
right?
Isn't that where that happened? Happy Days? Is that in Milwaukee?
I thought I saw Pinky Tuscadero ride by.
Very good. Yeah. Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even easier and faster. I should have asked Coach Moore if that's how he got the tickets for the baseball game today.
Nice.
Because the prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, and it's awesome. Killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, which means you get to see your total up front, no surprise fees at checkout. Views from your seat, you can find out whether you can have an unobstructed view or not from your seat, thanks to the app. Lowest price guaranteed. The guesswork's totally removed out of buying tickets with Game Time, so download the Game Time app, create an account, and use our code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH, $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, so I'll give you a top three going out the door.
Okay.
My top three of my favorite moments of last night's draft.
Okay, great. Let's go.
Knowing that we'd be able to talk about it on the show today.
Okay.
One of the, and I'm removing Michael Penix Jr. being drafted eighth overall, because when you are hosting an NFL draft,
well, that's the most unexpected thing that
that's you want the most
happened.
Unexpected thing.
Right.
And we were trying to go into the draft figuring out when to expect the unexpected.
Right.
Second overall is a little too much of an expectation level. Third overall, now that's that. Then I would turn around and because we're having a conversation, things go so fast. So the Bears did make the pick with 3.5 minutes to go on the clock last
year. Yeah, I saw a clip. Ryan Poles, they told him to kind of wait five.
Right, yeah, they waited five. We showed the Bears cam and Poles and Eberflus were just sitting straight ahead like this, sort of like putty on a plane, right?
Yeah, yep.
Just staring right at the seat in
you
front of
something to read, no.
And then we cut back to about 2.5 minutes later, and they're all like chuckling, and one of them's on the phone, like, hey, you're right. And the next time we show, high fives all around. So, and then the Commanders are on the clock, and we're talking about Jaden Daniels or Drake May. They make the pick. And then we're now talking about, Jaden Daniels and what that means for Washington and the Commanders and all of that stuff. And so I turn around and I look to see if the Patriots are on the clock and I how deep they're on the clock. And I see the words, the pick is in. And I'm like, okay, so no trade.
No trade. They are going.
Yeah, right. They are going in. They're going. And so, boom, that one's taken out. And then fourth, fifth overall pick, no trades. And then the eighth overall pick happens. So the unexpected happened in an unexpected spot. That is, when you are hosting an NFL draft, chef's kiss. Mm. Certainly when you know it involves Kirk Cousins and it involves a team that thought that they were going to just, we all thought they were going to go defense, and then we wound up having 14 offensive players to start. So I'm taking that out of the mix here. Number three is when the Cowboys traded out. And I thought to myself, we'll talk about that with TJ the next day. And, there wasn't too much craziness that went down and happened right there. But that does mean that when they chose eventually Tyler Guyton, the tackle out of Oklahoma, they did, in fact, pick 29th overall. And they did. Hey, Dallas did provide a great moment because they allowed the Lions to trade up. And that was a great moment for all of us.
You're welcome, Detroit.
So Jerry was just doing it for the broadcast, and he was doing it for the good people of Detroit.
Geppetto Jones. That's
and
what
we, and we all thought it was. We all thought it was interesting, because Charles Davis asked if Tyler Guyton, or he asked if He asked if Terrion Arnold had reported as eligible, because it was involving Dallas. It involved the Dallas trade lines. Dallas, as we all know, that was one of the biggest moments of the year. But that just meant that the Dallas Cowboys actually adding another individual to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Non-playing season, all in roster. So we are updating our Jerry Telethon tote board. There it is, seven.
Seven.
Tiffany.
Let's go.
There it
is. Congratulations.
Seven,
DJ.
Everybody.
Seven.
All right.
Wow.
That was a great moment.
That was a great number.
I was looking forward to that moment all day last night.
Well, and, I was pounding the table for a lineman for 2 months.
I'm so excited.
You got one.
So
we got
congratulations.
Got one.
You wanted what you wanted, and you got what you wanted.
Well, I told you, you know, Zoom calls between me, Jerry, and Steven, late-night text messages, we got to
Can't wait to see what that number is going to be on Monday when we update it with six more rounds of the NFL draft. We'll see what the Dallas 13. Cowboys do. Well, we'll see what happens.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Number two was for you, TJ.
Again?
In a way.
Well, yes, it's your birthday.
Because you are a wrestling guy, and you are the one. Listen, I'll be straight up with you. I wasn't fully aware of what's going on in the world of AEW, but you told me, you know, hey, Tony Khan got his ass beat last night. It's basically what you told me.
Well, I'm like, it's not a laughing matter. It's not a laughing matter.
Not at all, because he's clearly hurt. I mean, the man is
going on
clearly hurt. So what happened again? You told me Jack Perry did what?
The scapegoat, Jack Perry, who is the son of Beverly Hills 90210 actor Luke Perry, rest in peace, he got suspended a few months ago for a backstage altercation.
Yes.
And so he came back, and I thought he and Tony were going to make amends, and they did not. He punched Tony in the gut, and then the Elite came down, the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada, and they proceeded to hit him with a what I'm calling now a TK driver.
Okay, a TK driver, a pile driver version of
And then basically, like, if you ever see The Undertaker do the tombstone, it's that, except one brother jumps off the ropes, does a spin, and adds to the velocity of
jeez.
Well, we mentioned it on the show on Wednesday, and Agent to the Stars Ryan Hayden, who is tight with Tony Khan, was here and let him know we gave him a shout out. He texted back that he was going to wear a neck brace.
Well, I don't think he had a choice in the matter.
I mean, again, that's how significant of an incident this was.
That's what happens when you get attacked by the Elite.
So the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock at 17th overall, and right before it, I say to T-Man, Mark Teitelman, our producer, I get in his ear, you know, there's a button on our microphone that I'm only talking to the truck, and you're not hearing it at home. I say to him, is there a shot of Tony Khan on the Jaguars cam of him in a neck brace? Because if so, let's get it ready. And so he gets in my ear. He goes, yeah, no, we've got it. He's there. And I'm like, in a neck brace for real? Like, in a neck brace for real.
Well, he's hurt, Rich.
And then the Vikings trade up. Jaguars trade out, so that moment's got to wait. So now the Jaguars are finally on the clock, 23 overall, and they put it on the screen.
I mean,
I shouldn't laugh.
There's
Sean Conn, who also got in the ring out of concern for his son's welfare, right?
Yeah, well, you would do the same for Coop.
Of course I would, or Taylor or Xander.
Xander, you know.
If any of them ever are on the receiving end of a pile driver on national television, you bet I would.
So I got to be honest, I can't believe he even showed up for work after the vicious attack.
And that he could move his head to actually look at the screen and hear me give him a shout out live on TV, where I basically said he's the first ever NFL executive to show up in a draft room in a neck brace because he's on the receiving end of a pile driver and he received on national television in a wrestling ring the previous evening. So there
you go. Props to him for coming to work.
Look at him, man.
Yeah. Some people don't come to work because, you know, they have a hangnail.
And it didn't affect their pick at all. I thought Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU is a terrific way to supplement the loss of Calvin Ridley.
Great spot.
Well done on all fronts. But number one, last night, for me to come in here today and talk about it was when Bo Nix went 12th overall to the Denver Broncos. And I'm not just saying to talk about the worthiness of Bo Nix or what that means for Sean Payton with Bo Nix or if it's a fit, if anything works. No. It's because six quarterbacks went in the first 12 picks.
Yes.
And that meant six quarterbacks were off the board before the Indianapolis Colts were drafting at 15. And I immediately thought of this exchange I had with the general manager, Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts, last Friday on this show.
Do you think four quarterbacks go to start this draft? Clearly you're out of that market, but what do you think?
No. I've definitely thought about it because it pushes all these other guys down, which is a good thing.
Right.
I wish, can we get five or six?
There could be four, five, could even be six that go before you.
Oh, that would be awesome. I mean, that'd be awesome, Rich. And like you get that done, I'm on your show whenever you want me.
You know, I can't. No one else is showing me their draft board either, Chris, you know? So, Chris Ballard, I addressed him straight down the camera alley last night on NFL Network to tell him it's time for you to come back on the Rich Eisen Show, Chris, whenever we want. Mm-hmm. Should we just, like, ask him?
Well, I think it's a Tuesdays with Chris segment the season.
Yeah. Like he's our Aaron Rodgers?
100%.
Where he shows up and he just pops off about any subject
just
matter that comes in his mind?
Anything he wants.
Freestyling?
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Have to. I mean, six, you heard Chris. The man say
six.
It.
By the it way, was his it wasn't idea, even too. Six before 15. Chris, you could have traded up to 13 if you wanted. We've got to be just as fine because six went in the first 12.
He took the first defender at 15.
I know. I know. So you're welcome. And the question is, when do look at him? Party in the back, indeed,
I
man.
Mean, he is.
Party in the back.
Time.
Hey, when do we want him?
Tuesdays, I think.
You think? Good. No, just next week is mandatory.
Monday, if we can get him.
What do you mean if we can get him? He said it's any time we want.
I understand.
What do you mean?
He's the GM of a
team. We're all busy.
He runs a team.
We're just doing 6, 7, 13 hours of television.
What's he going to do on Monday? All the undrafted free agents, he'll have signed all his undrafted free agents. The work really, it really gets hot Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning. By Monday, he's practically in Cabo San Lucas.
First guest up Monday, Chris Ballard.
First up.
Right out of the gate.
Okay.
At worst, we get him.
And then during the season, then Tuesdays during the season.
He didn't text me back.
Well, I mean, he's in the middle of it.
No, come on.
Might be a little bit busy.
I still find that unacceptable.
He's making moves.
So that was just one of my favorite moments. And my number one favorite moment of last night, first round.
Six quarterbacks.
By the way, what a week we've had here in Detroit. Thank you to everybody here that's been so hospitable to us in downtown Detroit. We loved our setup right here.
This is beautiful.
I know. We lived out our Heat dreams walking through a bank every single day. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank everybody who's behind the scenes, behind the camera, behind here.
Thank
Roku Joe, the Killer K's, Kristen and Keishla, thank you to our sponsors as well, Applebee's, and, of course, the Total by Verizon crew. We appreciate that. Hoskins, Bowie, James Crittenden, the rest of the crew here, D4E, putting this set together. Liz, you're a rock star, as always. Erica and Kristen putting everything together. And I just want to thank the Rush Media Group for putting the fannies in the seats, if you will, behind the scenes. It's just been great. I just sit here
it's
and I get to talk about the draft.
It's so great.
Really cool.
It's so great. And you still have 80% of the draft left, Rich.
The crew at home, Sean, Smitch, feeling better. I hope you are. D-Lo and Jordan Shero, the rest of the crew putting it all together. Tulo, that's right. And whatever Mike Del Tufo was doing, I don't know what the hell you've been up to, but I am sure all of his banking needs have been handled.
Right.
Whatever he's doing back
there. How many cat videos do you think he's watching?
He's sending us AI pictures of himself.
He's got to be living his best life where he's supposedly on the clock, but just on his phone the entire time. Hey, Mike, get off your phone.
He's like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. He's just exploring the space.
Thank you very much. It's been awesome. We are signing off from Detroit at the Total by Verizon Studio. We will be back on the air on Monday and on the Roku channel to wrap things up in a second.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.